Hey, what's going on? This is, I had to change it up a little bit, right?
Yeah, no, I
like that.
It's
starting to get monotonous.
What state are you from?
I've always been horrible with like accents, like copying accents. It always ends up being something completely different than I was attempting to mimic.
I thought that was pretty good.
What state did you think I was from?
Somewhere south of the Mason-Dixon, for sure.
Yeah. Well, no offense to any of those people. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's the best accent. I'm offended that you thought people were offended.
Yeah. I feel like I did a pretty bad job, but... I'm Tim. This is Matt. This is the Holy Ghost Notes podcast. Man, I cannot talk today. And this is minisode number 7.
Number 7. Nice.
We just released Ash Sohn's episode, which was fantastic, and it's going to be pretty hard to follow that up with anything, so I've pretty much just given up at this point. I'm just kidding. Just kidding.
No, but really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In all honesty.
It was great. It's good to be back with the minisode. Sorry it's been a little while, but we're back, and that's what matters.
Yes.
So I want to talk about something that's been very relevant in my life. Tim and I have not talked about this prior to recording this, so we're just going to jump in. So, relationships. A lot of different relationships in our lives, whether it's your spouse, whether you are a dad or a mom, whether you're a daughter or a son. We can't get away from relationships. And one that has the appearance of a relationship that we can sort of ignore and often tend to do so is a relationship with God. I don't know where you stand as a listener in your faith or your relationship with God, or, you know, as it pertains to this aspect of faith or something that you place your hope in that you cannot see. But as a Christian, we're told that our relationship with God is one of the utmost importance, and yet it seems to always take a back seat. So I was thinking about this idea of how God relates to us. And I have something written down here that I heard recently. God does for others what we would never do for them. If you want to turn to Philippians 2:3-4. Philippians 2:3-4, if you're listening to this
cool.
And you're not driving, or you just want to look up later, Philippians 2:3-4, it says this: do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. I think the reason that we thought so much of Ash, and the reason that it was so easy to connect with him, even though his faith might be much different than ours, is that his character is so synonymous with what the Christian life calls our character to be. Mm. We were able to draw so many similarities, even though he's across the pond, he's older, and as I said, he wouldn't consider himself to be all that religious, maybe spiritual. I don't know how you want to break that down, but either way, we certainly don't believe in the same things, and yet there are so many parallels, and I would argue that his character is far superior to mine oftentimes in the area, especially of humility. Humility, I've realized in the past week since talking to Ash, really looks like this: someone who considers others of more importance than themselves.
Yeah.
Now, the reason I love that biblical definition is because there's this idea of false humility, which I fall into oftentimes, which is like the conversation would go something like this: Tim, you are so incredible at editing Holy Ghost Knows podcasts. Now, I know no one ever says that, but they should. They should. And your response might be, if you're executing false humility, something like this: oh, no. Nah, thanks, man. But like, I'm not, you know, I'm okay. You know, I try my best. I do pretty well. When in fact, you're good at it.
Sounds about right.
You are good at it. You're better than most. You're not as good as others, but you are good. You are good at it. You are good
yeah,
at it.
Right.
Seriously. And false humility is this trap that we fall into because it's the easy way to acknowledge what someone's saying, but still put ourselves down a few rungs on a ladder. What the Bible says about it is Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. The focus is on others, not on yourself. This creates a very fruitful life. The more that you look at your own life and your own interests, the less satisfied and rewarded you are at the end of the day. 100% of 100% of 100% of the time. Because your world is so small and it's only about you. And it creates in you this shell and this skeleton of what you could be. And it's a shame because there's so much more. And all it requires you to do, all it requires me to do, is to look out and look at someone else around me. Someone that has a different job, someone that has a different faith, someone that has a different family, someone that lives in a different country, and say that person and their interests are actually superior to mine. And I want to actually learn. I want to grow. I want to encourage. I want to nurture. I want to help that person. And all of a sudden, instead of it being about you, it's about them. And not only are they a beneficiary of that, so are you. And so bringing this back to what I said initially, God does for others what we'd never do for them. The interesting thing about Christianity, and probably a topic we revisit more than any on this podcast, is that grace is scandalous and it's hard to accept and it's hard to believe. Because we look at the world around us and we say, how much trash is really out there? And yet here I am sort of, you know, doing the best that I can. And oh my gosh, I can't believe that God could love a person like that. I could certainly not love a person like that. I think God does. Hmm. He says he does. But yet we don't really operate out of that belief. And yet he does. And I think if I were God, which thank God neither of us are, I think it would probably be easier to love someone who really doesn't believe that they're all that lovable and accept someone who really doesn't believe that they're all that acceptable, and to look at that person and say, you know what? You're covered. You're clean. Come to me. I'm here. I'm all yours. You've always been mine and I've always been yours, and I'll wait for you and I'm always in your corner. Because the reaction from that person, as we continually talk about, is one out of just this true, authentic love. It's a response.
Yeah.
It's a response to that grace and a response to that love. It's not a simple, oh, okay, well, yeah, I mean, it makes sense that God would love me because I've done a few nice things in my life. Yeah, it's probably a lot for him to do that. But ultimately, you know, I kind of deserve a little bit of this here and there.
Yeah.
And so as I was thinking about that this week, it was a pretty impactful thing in my own life. This is for me. This is also for others, hopefully, but this is certainly something applicable in my life.
Yeah. Hmm. That's wow. That's spot on, man. It's funny. I've been I saw this thing the other day. Doesn't directly relate to what you said, but kind of to preface what I'm going to say, I read this post that was like, think about who you are, you know, everything about you, the person that you are, and then imagine that you have a daughter or a son for some people. Would you want someone like you dating your daughter or your son? If you're not smiling right now, or if you're not happy about that thought, then change. And I was like, wow. I mean, and
wow.
My first thought was like, I was like, well, you know, I wouldn't be too disappointed if you know, she found someone like me. But then I was starting to think of all the problems with myself. And I was like, well, hopefully she finds someone a little better than me. Like, and I was like, well, all right. So I've got some room to change. But all that to say, like, we should always be like trying to be better people, trying to improve ourselves, you know, and it's interesting that you bring up false humility, because it's something that it's not talked about often, and it's not something that a lot of people fully understand. And you did such a good job of explaining what that is, you know, and it's something that I am certainly guilty of. Like, you know, I know I'm great at mixing this podcast and editing this podcast, but that's exactly what my response would be. Like, no, you're too much, you know, because I don't want to come across like an asshole, you know. But in all seriousness, like, you know, it's like true humility is something that you notice right away. Mm-hmm. You know, Ash was a great example of that. Like when we were talking to him, I mean, the dude is so accomplished. His accolades read longer than it's ridiculous. And yet he took an hour and a half out of his day to talk to us and really talk to us. He had a full blown conversation, right. You know, opened up his life, you know, let us say our parts and didn't, you know, judge us or like it was just a conversation. And I'm sure a lot of you got that from him. But really, it is a principle of what the Christian faith should look like. You know, it's how Jesus was. Mm-hmm. It's how you know, like no one was like he wasn't too good for anybody. You know, he hung out with the sinners, with the prostitutes and the diseased and the sick, and you know, mm-hmm. like those were the people that he went to. Even the tax collectors, the scum of the earth, the people who were his disciples were failures. You know, that's a picture of who Jesus was. And so as Christians, which simply put, a Christian is someone who should be a representative of Christ, someone who is following Christ, trying to be like Christ. that's an amazing picture of what we should try to better ourselves. You know, we should be bettering ourselves by trying to be like that, to be humble. And this is interesting. I'm going to try not to get into this too much in length, mm-hmm. but I posted a question on my Facebook and I ended up posting it in our inner circle group as well. And it was interesting seeing all the varied responses
right.
and different opinions that came from it. But I asked this question and it was, I'll cut this part out. Does love ever have an ulterior motive? That's how I put it. Mm. And this was a question that I landed on after like a trail, like a rabbit hole of this thought progression. Mm. And I was thinking about like how when I was younger, and this isn't like to blame anyone specific that I thought this way, it's just how I thought. But when I was younger, as a Christian trying to be a Christian, I just thought like the great commission was everything, you know, tell the world, mm. you know, be a witness, tell, you know, so every relationship that was with someone who wasn't a Christian or didn't believe the things that I believed, the ultimate goal was not to be their friend, not to love them, but to convert them to Christianity. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what it was that started that toxic idea, mm-hmm. but I started going through a list in my head of like people who I've known for years that have become family to me that I mm-hmm. love dearly who aren't Christians. And I wonder like, did that relationship start out of a, you know, a hope to convert them to Christianity? Mm-hmm. Or is there still that like, I'm only friends with this person because I want them to become a Christian? And I realized quickly that I've thankfully dropped that notion. Yeah. Dropped that yep. goal. Yep. It's not about converting someone. It's not about trying to make someone believe what I believe at all. It's not even close. But it made me think like when we're called to love our neighbor, when we're called to love and put people above ourselves, as Matt said, like what does that look like? Is it love? Is it really love? If there's an ulterior motive, like if we're going around and spreading the gospel, or going around and loving people, serving, going on missions trips, and the goal isn't love, mm-hmm. if there's that ulterior motive, like, I'm only doing this so this person believes in Jesus, is it actually love? Is it actually representative of who Jesus was? Is it actually the Great Commission mm-hmm. after mm-hmm. all? Or is it just this false idea of what we should mm-hmm, be doing.
Exactly.
You know, and so that's where my thoughts stem from. That those didn't, you know, the answers that I got were a little bit more straightforward
right,
than
right.
that. They weren't coming from this thought progression that I came from. But I just thought it was so interesting because some people straight up said, you know, yes, mm-hmm. You can love with, you know, another reason behind it. And I was like, oh, that's interesting because, mm-hmm. you know, I feel like it almost negates what mm-hmm. love is. You know, love is putting someone above yourself,
right,
you
right.
know? And honestly, like when you're loving someone with hoping or expecting something in return, oftentimes you're going to be disappointed and let down, unless that person is God. Hmm. So not even a person.
And yet so often we have ulterior motives. Like everybody has ulterior motives.
For sure.
You know?
As humans, we do. Yeah. I mean, you can't deny that, like, we are going to have ulterior motives, regardless of whether we want them or not. You know, there's that human nature aspect, of course, but is it actually love? Is it actually doing what Jesus called us to do when that ulterior motive is there? You know, is being a witness actually what most Christians believe being a witness to be?
Yeah, that's great. And I think when
food for thought.
I think to wrap this segment up, when you capture and when you latch on to that idea that you're talking about, where there are not ulterior motives, I think that's the point in which you can say that others will actually look at you when you're not thinking about evangelizing. The moment that you stop thinking about having this motivation behind loving and these ulterior motives, the moment in which you actually do something out of just the pure love of doing it for that person, that is when you become a true witness. When someone says, "Huh, I like that person," or I like whatever they stand for, because you have nothing to gain by it. And that's an admirable and rare trait in this day and age. So as you think about this, as you're listening to this, as Tim said, food for thought. Let us know what you think. Let us know where you are in the pursuit of putting other people ahead of yourself. In fact, putting other people's interests ahead of your own. And what maybe you've done in your life to work on that, improve yourself. We're all attempting to better ourselves in this way. If we're not, then, well, we can start today. And we can make for sure a better world for those around us.
Yeah, definitely. Good stuff, man. Well, I know we're running a little short on time, but we're going to try to squeeze a couple questions in for you guys.
Flash questions.
So our first question is from at Seth Miller _1597. And he asks, was there a crazy story behind the moment you first decided you wanted to play drums before your first lesson? What was it, if you remember?
Crazy moment. I just knew I wanted to play drums. There wasn't anything crazy about it besides the fact that I was born and raised in a brethren home, very conservative, homeschooled, sheltered, and drums were never a part of anyone's vocabulary. So I guess that's sort of crazy, more so for everybody else than it was for me.
Yeah. That's funny. Yeah, and my story isn't very much different. I can't remember when I didn't want to play drums, so there's really no story there. Good question.
Yeah, thanks, Seth.
Next question is from at Corne Monty from South Africa. Sorry if I mispronounced
that's
that.
That's awesome.
He wants to know, what kind of music do you listen to on your own when you're not playing the specific music genre on drums?
I've been listening to Death Cab for Cutie recently. I've gone back and listened to some metal that got me into metal. Unearth, Extol, Beloved. Man,
nice.
You talk about nostalgia when you start listening to those bands. Modern music, like I said, Death Cab. I've been listening to Adele ever since we sat down with Ash.
Yeah, me too.
And I've been listening to the radio. So as a drummer, I analyze everything I listen to. So if I listen to the radio, it's background music and I don't pick it apart. And therefore, it's fun.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, I have a very eclectic taste when it comes to music. I listen to the radio a lot because my wife likes the radio. I've actually really been getting into some of the songs that have been coming out on the radio, which is surprising for me because I was never a huge radio fan. But I actually kind of love what's out there right now. But I have this playlist of probably over 2,000 songs that I've been building on Spotify for years. And oftentimes I'll just throw that on and I'll listen to just about anything.
Right.
Lots of times there's old throwbacks. Sometimes there's new stuff. I've been kind of getting into folk.
Okay.
Recently.
Like pop. Mumford and Sons, is that folk?
Not quite that.
That's too pop.
Like it's almost, yeah, that's almost too pop. Like stuff you've probably never heard of. Like, have you ever heard of Tame Impala?
No. Way okay. too cool
Go
for me.
Go check it out. It's actually pretty cool. Been like, I listen to a bunch of like rant, like weird stuff. I don't know if you've ever heard of Borns. Borns,
no.
I love.
Mm-mm.
It's awesome. That's actually like kind of electronic in nature as well. But yeah, man, it's, I'm always listening to random stuff. I just like listening to music and discovering new music.
Right.
So a lot of times I'm putting on my Discover Weekly playlist on Spotify, which Spotify knows me to a T at this point, and I'm usually adding multiple songs to my favorite playlists.
From that.
Just from that.
That's cool.
So yeah, it's pretty neat. But good question. And I guess we'll end with this one, which is actually kind of related to the last question. This one's from at Maddie5000, and he wants to know, what obscure genres of music do you listen to that might surprise people? Sea shanties? I love that ending. Sea shanties? Definitely not listening to sea shanties.
Obscure, when I think of obscure, I think of underground or something that's not as obvious to the general public. So I think I get the question in the sense of like, wow, that seems obscure for you to listen to. So I'll just go there.
Yeah.
So I think the bands I just listed, I mean, I like listening to Adele. I like listening to worship music. I think worship music is oftentimes terrible and cheesy. And then there's other stuff that's really, really good. And I actually just recorded a podcast for a gentleman from Oklahoma this morning who laid into me for liking Hillsong. And he asked me to defend my stance. And I think I did a decent job. And I think he's going to go and listen to something and hopefully do away with a little bit of the stigma. Part of it for me is that I know some of those guys and they're some of the best dudes. So that's helpful when liking a band. But I do listen to a lot of other styles outside of metal. Country is one that bothers me more than ever in the last couple months because the lyrics are just trash. And I don't like how someone someone's in the studio in this place of influence and power and they're saying a bunch of trash and then they're going home and living their life the way they want to live it, contrary to the lyrics they just said, and the people listening to the song are actually taking it as gospel and living it out that way when it's like, no, you can't treat a girl like that. Or no, life's not all about your truck, you know? It's just really aggravating. So I would say that's the one genre that's probably like, I'm not really going to listen to anything country that's like more modern than Johnny Cash, you know?
Sure. Yeah. I don't listen to a whole lot of country. The country I do listen to can't be considered country.
Right.
So, and even the ones that can, it's usually because of the lyrical content or the talent of the musicians, but I'll defend your Hillsong,
really?
Hillsong. I've been playing Hillsong music my entire life. So that helps.
or hurts. Depending.
I'm actually not a huge worship music fan. I just, it's not stretching the boundaries of music in my opinion. So it's tough for me to really, really get into it. It all kind of starts sounding the same after a while. But I will say, like, I've seen Hillsong live a number of times. Jesus Culture as well, and it's just always a really great time of worship, and it's always, I mean, those guys are definitely talented. Like, whether it's showcased on an album or not is another story, but they're definitely talented, and if you see them live, you can definitely appreciate it.
Well, do you know what's, to wrap this up, the thing I realized this last Sunday while writing worship songs is that everyone's singing about one thing, whereas in every other genre of music, you can sing about any number of different things. In worship, if it's worship, you're really just singing about one thing. How many different ways can you say it?
That's a good point. Yeah. And the other thing that you have to keep in mind, too, is that you have to, you know, write songs that are singable by
That's
the
correct.
Masses, you know? So, like, you end up kind of recycling the same melody and chord progression over and over and over again because people understand it. People can actually sing along and they can remember the melody after one time through singing it. You know, there's a lot of woes and a lot of oohs and a lot of ahs, and, you know, because it, you know, from a congregational standpoint, it almost has to be.
That's right.
But That's good. Good questions,
good questions,
everybody.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you for listening to our mini-sode. Real quick before we wrap, just want to remind everybody that our Patreon is live, patreon.com/holyghostnotes. And we've got some really cool rewards up there. And the Inner Circle Community Group, just a shout out to you all. You guys are awesome. And I've been getting a lot out of these conversations.
Yes.
And I hope you guys have too, because it's been really cool getting to know you. Other than that, if you have any questions or concerns, reach out on email, mattandtim@theholyghostnotes.com, social media @holyghostnotes. Make sure to use the #HolyGhostNotes on your drum videos for a chance to get featured on our page.
Right.
And in addition to that, if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, drop us a rating.
Yeah, that's
love
great.
That.
Yeah. Thanks
appreciate
a lot, guys.
It.
We really appreciate
so.
You, and we'll see you soon.
Yeah. See you guys.
Peace.